All right, we are going to move to Division of Wildlife. First up, 18. This is an elk contingency license.
Good morning, Commissioners, Madam Chair, Secretary Roebling, Andrew Norton, Wildlife Program Administrator. Agenda item 18, elk contingency licenses. If Madam Chair, you will, I'll start with Andy giving a presentation with some background information on where we landed with these elk contingency licenses. And then I'll get back on the microphone, and this would be a resolution if the commission agrees to take action to adopt the resolution to authorize some of these contingency licenses.
Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling, Andy Lindblom here, Senior Big Game Biologist at Rapid City. And yeah, today I'm here to talk about our elk contingency licenses. Provide a little bit of background on kind of how we got to where we are with these licenses, talk about the latest data we have, and then ultimately end with our recommendation for your resolution. So a little bit on the background here. The whole idea or concept of an elk contingency license really came about when we developed our first elk management plan back in 2015, so about 10 years ago. And one of the things that we heard during the development of that plan and our stakeholder meetings is that we as an agency needed a better way to respond to short-term drought. You know, the system we had back then was if we had a short-term drought, our response was going to be 1 or 2 years down the road during the normal commission process. And that was just too long. So we worked with that stakeholder group, our constituents, which was, of course, landowner representations and also sportsmen. And we basically developed this contingency license process, which is really it's a proactive response to reduced forage production due to the impacts of short-term drought. So following the development of the plan, the commission, you as the commission, did promulgate couple rules here I want to mention to just guide us as an agency on how we implement these licenses. First, there's the development of a pool of antlerless licenses, and these are available to the commission if summer range conditions dictate an adjustment is needed in our harvest management strategy. And I think that's really important. This is tied to summer range conditions, and hence that's some of the data that we'll talk about today. Another administrative rule that's important here is you as a commission established a maximum that can be allocated as a contingency license, and that is 20% of what our current allocation is. So our current allocation as of this year is about 1,200 firearm antlerless licenses. So that's going to be about 240 licenses that would be available to you as a commission to consider as contingency licenses. So a little bit about the evaluation process. First, I just want to mention this is definitely a collaborative process. We have several other agencies that help us through, at least with providing data for our evaluation. First, there's USDA NRCS, the Natural Resources Conservation Service, and also the U.S. Forest Service. We meet with those folks several times a year to discuss different habitat projects and range conditions. The meeting, most important meeting pertinent to this meeting is the one we have mid to late summer, where we talk about what the range conditions are out there on the forest, on the Black Hills Forest. At that meeting, we also get a really important input from the Forest Service range conservationists. These are the Forest Service staff that are actually managing the grazing leases on the forest. So they're the boots on the ground out there evaluating what the conditions are. At this point, we also get the latest forage production estimates from NRCS. They have a forage production model. It's a precipitation model that they've developed quite some time ago. They use it across the state, but they've customized it for us as an agency and for our for elk management in the Black Hills. So they actually give us forage production estimate by elk unit. And this is a model they've developed over the years. It looks at, you know, weights precipitation differently during different times of the year because that impacts vegetative growth It puts caps on major precipitation events because that runoff, a lot of that runoff is not available for vegetative growth. And it also looks at precipitation in the previous year. So it's a quite an in-depth model. In addition, they've also used that model and they calibrated against actual vegetation clipping data. So it is the best information that we have out there relative to forage production. So this is how we use the data from NRCS in our decision support table. You can see here on the left, we have different forage production categories. And then we evaluate that forage production relative to what our elk management objective is in that unit. And so you can see here the three different categories of objectives from decrease, maintain, and increase. And so in areas that we want to increase elk, we don't have as many elk as we want, we're going to be much more conservative on our recommendation for contingency licenses. Whereas if we have a unit where we have too many elk already, we're going to be a little more aggressive on contingency licenses. So where did the data fall out this year? Here are the forage production estimates as of August 15th for all of our different elk units across the Black Hills. You can see they range from a low of 75% of normal down in the southern part of the hills in southern unit 3, all the way to 105% of normal up in unit 1. So in general, the northern part of the hills is much better shaped than the southern part of the hills this year. Of course, we look at that relative to our objective. And then we look at how many licenses we have in each one of those units. We use that decision support table that I just went over to look at what percent addition we would add to that unit. Of course, we multiply that by the licenses to come up with our recommended contingency license number there. Of course, we're going to round those licenses to a whole number. And then, as you may recall, anything less than 5, we're going to round that up to 5. So our total number of recommended licenses this year will be 54. And you can see the range. Overall, it's about 5% addition to total licenses, but you can see the range for each unit there on the far right. So to sum it up, this is how it looks across the hills. Here's our decision support table, but looking at the map, you can see here areas in green, better forage production, all the way down to areas in red were definitely less than normal. For each one of those units, we have what the unit number is there, what our objective is, what the forage production estimate is, and then our recommended tag allocation for contingency licenses. And with that, certainly stay around for questions, discussion.
Any questions from the commission on the presentation? Seeing no questions or comments at this time.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe Chris is going to be handing out the resolution 25-11, and if the commission agrees with the numbers that Andy had presented here at the last slide there, that would be those 54 contingency licenses, 19 licenses in unit H2EFG, 5 in H2IHJ, HIJ, 7 in H3BCD, 18 in H3EFG, and 5 in H4B. And just a little background on the eligibility for these licenses. If an individual has an elk license, they cannot apply for it. No landowner preference or preference points will be used for these licenses, and an individual that applies and is successful does not affect future eligibility. A lot of other licenses in the first draw, you'll not be eligible for 9 subsequent years. So a pretty good deal for hunters that want to get out there and harvest an antlerless elk if they're lucky enough to get one of these licenses. With that, I can take any questions on the resolution, but the department recommendation would be for the commission, if they agree, to take action to adopt this resolution.
Questions from the commission on the resolution? Commissioner Teal.
Commissioner Teal, Andrew, real quick, will these tags be scattered throughout the three antlerless seasons, or how will they be distributed within each respective unit?
Through the chair. Commissioner Teal, Andy may be able to clarify, and I know Trenton Hapley's out. I discussed this with him a little bit. We're unable to allocate these licenses to the first season because we just don't have the time for the turnaround to run the draw and get those licenses out. Ideally, we would get them earlier on. Obviously, this is more of a grazing issue, and we want to get those elk off the landscape as soon as possible. But it's likely going to be, I believe, the second season or the last season there in December.
Thank you.
Additional questions or comments from the commission? Seeing none, we do need to move on this resolution. So we do need a motion. Moved by Commissioner Bartling.
Second.
Was that Commissioner Teal? Seconded by Commissioner Teal to adopt Resolution 25-11. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the resolution is adopted.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. We will move